Welcome to the third ever episode of the LuchaCast. Today is Sunday, August the 29th, 2010. My name is Pa Popovich, and to my right is the Australian Paul Burnett. Samuel Cook, how are you doing, sir?
You flatter me, sir.
I do.
Oh, I didn't answer the question.
Yeah.
I'm doing... Well, it's 5 in the morning, so you're feeling the...
Well...
Is that the expression? No. But, you know, 5 in the morning.
It's all good, it's all good. And to Samuel's right, virtual right, is actually a new member to the... To the LuchaCast, Eric Shepard, aka Aura Hack, how you doing?
I am doing okay. Yay!
What do you do for the LuchaZine?
I do the artsy stuff.
How
I make
artsy?
Pretty pictures.
How pretty?
So goddamn pretty. You have no idea.
Actually, I do. I've seen it. And To Eric's right is another new podcast virgin thing, whatever you want to call it. Mr. Charles Allen Ratliff, aka Vito something unpronounceable.
Relife.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm excellent. Excited to be here.
What do you do? Oh, nice. Somebody's actually excited for this podcast. But
I know,
right? What do you do for the LuchaZine?
I am a newly appointed writer / first draft editor, starting with issue 4.
So if you see any mistakes, don't blame it on the second round people. Just blame it on Charles.
No. If there's any mistakes, it came in the second draft. I have nothing to do with that.
Fine.
That's all.
Moving on. Sam, the spotlight is on you. How was your magical week, and what games have you been playing?
Well, for starters, I resent the accusation the spotlight is ever off me, but I'll let that one go.
Sorry, sir.
So full of himself. You should have never made that Paul Burnett comment.
Absolutely.
It's been like 3 times now. Oh, it's so good. Anyway, what was the question?
I said how...
Oh, yeah.
How do we open this?
How many
times? This is a great start right here.
This is the fourth time we've started recording.
How many times does it have to be LuchaCast for you to know?
Five in the morning. Anyway, no, let's keep rolling. Let's keep trucking. Let's keep doing this. I can do this. I'm doing well. I'm currently trying to finish off this coffee in my fancy Starfleet Academy mug that young Stephanie got
Nerd.
Me for my birthday. I'm only on a video games podcast at 5 a.m. But no, I can see how the Starfleet Academy mug was the thing that tipped you over the edge. But whatever, that's cool. Let's keep on moving.
What you been playing, Sam? Yeah.
The other question that you didn't answer.
Hey, just because I forgot it doesn't mean I wasn't eventually going to ramble my way into it. I have been playing StarCraft 2, which is becoming a dirty, dirty habit.
Online, even.
Online. Oh, my God. I broke my online cherry. Yeah, that's it, cherry. And I won. I won my first game online that I ever played.
That is me clapping.
Yeah.
Hear it.
Good job, man. Proud.
Then I lost my third game. I don't know why I skipped my second victory, but that's how it happened.
So are you bronze or like silver?
Oh, shit, no. I'm still in the practice matches.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you got to do like 5 of those.
I think you gave him too much credit.
Yeah.
Yeah. But see, my stumbling block is, I don't know. There's people who play StarCraft like me, and then there's people who play StarCraft. And whenever I encounter any of those people, it's an embarrassment. I lost in 8 minutes against the person who beat me.
I've lost earlier in RTSs before. It's no biggie.
Sure. Yeah, tactics. That's my stumbling block. But I'm really enjoying it. I'm really, really enjoying it. The thing that I really like is that you don't have to listen to anyone. Like, if someone wants to contact you, they write like, you know, they seem polite, but often they're far from polite, but nonetheless, there's little neat little messages that pop up at the bottom of the screen. There's no children with the mom, John spilled milk on my controller. You know, none of that stuff.
Spot on impression.
Oh, I know.
So what you're saying is you basically hate whenever we party up on Xbox.
No. I'm going straight to I hate you, Goran. I hate you.
Ah. So moving on to Eric. No, I'm kidding.
What was I going to finish with there? Oh, yeah, so that's really exciting. So I'm taking it increasingly seriously as it happens. It's like I'm one of those people who I kid myself into thinking I don't care. It's the only way I'll start, because if I know, or if I let myself know how seriously I'm going to take it, I fear it. But now I'm like 5 games in, I'm just like, okay. So I'm doing all of the cliches. Any cliche you want. I'm writing down people's build orders. I'm watching like guides on the internet about like early Terran builds, like how to speed my way to Thors, because I'm going with the whole mech thing. I don't buy into this bio stuff. But anyway.
You got the bug in you.
I got
You should move to South Korea and like become a professional StarCraft player.
Well, Australia is close enough, so yeah. Why not? Yeah. I mean, I hear the cultures are pretty much the same,
it's not a big deal.
Sam, who are you maining?
Terran. I play Terran in StarCraft 1, and I see no reason to change. Terran summed me up perfectly. They're quite round.
Ooh.
Very simple. So, boom. Anyway. No, I can't stand the Zerg. This noise... is generally the bane of my existence.
Oh, say it slower, say it slower.
Slow that down, 800 seconds.
Please.
Anyway, so yeah, that's what I've been playing. I also played a few other things that are of no relevance to anyone that I find myself playing every week. So I'm just going to skip right past those and go on to the no doubt enthralling stories of... I'm going to go with Eric and usurp Goran's position of choosing who goes next.
Ha! Well, he was next, so good job.
Uh-oh. Not really nerdgasm inducing or anything. I've actually not played a lot. I've just played like Persona 3 on PSP. It's really good. I've had more time to play it because I've been at school and there's nothing to do during my 2 hour breaks at school besides like watch episodes of 30 Rock in the library and play Persona.
What school are you at? You're like Starfleet Academy or something. Are you at university or high school?
No, college. I'm at Dawson in art program.
Well, that means nothing to me, but I'm going to interpret that as university.
Yeah, you're talking to an Australian.
Oh, right. Damn. I don't know. Are there no colleges in
there are, but colleges are the place you stay and live at, such as Trinity College. And
think of it this way. Think of it this way, Sam. It's post-secondary education, and it's an art school program.
What about it this way? Not pulling people up on like slight transatlantic Australia to America like word differences and talking about interesting things. Let's go with that. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Eric, how close is your college life to your Persona 3 high school life?
pretty similar, I'd say. I dig hanging out with the old people at the bookstore. They're really nice.
What's your S-link with them?
Like 5. I don't know.
Soft.
Starting to lose interest in them.
Do you ever go to the playground and hang out with a young elementary school girl?
All the time. They actually don't let me there anymore. It's pretty nasty. But yeah, Persona 3 is great. It probably takes up more of my time than it should in school because I play it at the back of class, and now I have no idea what my art history class is about. So that'll be fun to go into my second class.
Did you ever play the PS2 version?
Yeah, I played the PS2 version when it came out, actually.
So are you playing as a... Go ahead.
Did you beat it?
Are you playing as a girl then for the PSP?
Yeah, I beat it and loved it to death, and now this came out, and I'm like, all right, I'm going to play as the girl and see what all the different stuff is. And
so how is it different? I'm not exactly sure. Like I've never seen people like talk about the actual specific differences.
It's mostly like new social links open up, like characters that you couldn't previously interact with or have
lots of sexy boys.
You can make out Junpei.
Yeah, you know, instead of falling in love with Mitsuru, which you should still be able to do as a girl, I should add. You fall in love with like Junpei or Akihiko or something, which is neat, I guess. But there's like new characters and stuff. Some of the dialogue changes. It's not really like these huge differences, but it's neat enough if you're like way invested into the whole Persona 3 fiction stuff.
Been playing anything else?
Yeah, and this morning I randomly was like, okay, I need a game to play on my Mac because I'm kind of done with Uplink and I've nothing else. So I want to play Homeworld 2, and I did that. And yo, Homeworld 2 is pretty awesome.
Core has been found. It means
what
trouble.
Was that?
The fourth core has been found. It means trouble, I hear.
Yeah, it's weird because I don't actually like RTS games. It's too complicated for my brain.
Bane boy.
So it's weird. So, to like...
so you thought you'd jump into probably the single most complicated RTS ever made. That was just your.
And that's the thing is that like I'm playing Homeworld 2 now, and I'm surprisingly having like an okay time with it because like for whatever reason it doesn't seem like that. Like I tried playing StarCraft and whatever. Like it's, like I can appreciate what StarCraft is, but yo, F that game. I can't play it.
So do you mean F that game or F yourself
pissed off right now?
Both.
F yourself while you're effing the game?
Exactly.
It's what I like to do every Tuesday.
It makes the game even more complicated.
Yeah, but that drops that drops your APM by a lot.
But yeah, like I don't know. It's maybe it's just because it's space and it's 3D and spaceships and I'm stupid. But
no, they're all good reasons.
Awesome. Yeah, I really like Homeworld 2. It's fun. And I'm going to keep playing it as opposed to StarCraft.
So. Did you play Homeworld 1?
No, I didn't. So,
heresy.
Heresy. Yeah, I know. Well, Homeworld 1 isn't available to me. Homeworld 2 is because I found an old-ass disc of it. So.
Dude, after this, we'll just... Don't worry. Don't worry about it. Just, that's all I'll say. Don't worry about it.
That's illegal.
Okay.
What do you mean, don't... What do you mean that's illegal? He was going to mail
it to
the disc.
Don't worry. Come on,
Charles.
Exactly. I implied I was going to put my copy in the mail. Right. Lovely. It was going to read beautifully, have you know. And send it across, you know, and you know, Eric was going to send me the fee for, you know, for the postage. He was going to get, he was going to play it. He was going to love it. That's all I was talking about. I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
But sir, I will not stand for it.
Okay. No. Seriously.
Speaking of horrible piracy, Charles, what have you been playing?
Well, I got a new R4 cartridge for my DS, so I've been playing like every DS game I've made.
Asshole.
No,
for
actually,
the record, not actually, listeners, don't freak out.
Yeah, I'm lying.
No, but seriously, though, how's your weekend? What have you been playing?
It's good. I just kind of moved recently, so I don't have any of my main consoles hooked up.
Oh, cool.
So,
Where do you live?
Ace Attorney Investigations. I signed up for Gamefly and put a bunch of DS games on there, so I got that. But I've been kind of getting back into Ace Attorney because last month I went to Japan, right? And did you guys ever hear about those Phoenix Wright musicals that they did about a year ago?
I heard about them, yeah.
Yeah, so for some reason I looked those up to see if they were doing a show. And turns out they were. They're the same people that did the Phoenix Wright musicals were doing a show of Trafalgar, which is like something about Horatio Nelson and Napoleon, blah, blah, blah. And like the person that plays Napoleon, Ranju Tomu, is the same lady that played Phoenix Wright. But anyways, I bought the DVDs of the musicals at the gift shop, and I've been watching those, and they are amazing, let me tell you. Like, if anyone's a Phoenix Wright fan, you have to see these. There's like a dance sequence at the beginning of the part two of the musical that has like Phoenix Wright, Miles Edgeworth, Franziska von Karma, Lotta Hart, just Detective Gumshoe, just everybody. So you guys don't know what I'm talking about. But I'm sure
I do. They don't.
There's a lot of...
Detective Gumshoe's my boy.
I know what you're talking about. It just sounds weird. Just straight up.
It is weird, but it's so incredible. They just have everything down.
So like, is it subtitled or what?
You can find subtitled versions online. Like YouTube, you can find that. So if people want to see them, there's like
I really
a fan
want the rich script of the musical.
I thought you were talking about a Broadway musical, just subtitled, just people at the bottom of the stage, like holding cardboard signs.
Well, it's like the closest thing because the people that do it is the Takaruska Review, which is the best way I can describe it to people that don't know is like it's an all female Broadway production, except it's all Japanese. Like that's the closest comparison I can make. But when you watch it, I mean, if you're a fan of the Phoenix Wright series, sure. Then it's just mind-blowing.
Now, what if you're a casual fan? Sorry to cut you off. I played, as you know, the third and fifth game, Miles Edgeworth and Trials and Tribulations, I think. So am I going to get anything out of it?
I think you would. Just like the dance numbers. It's all very impressive. Like I saw Trafalgar, and I barely speak any Japanese, and I had no idea what was going on. But it's just so impressive, like seamless scene transitions with the background. It's just really professional stuff.
Now, what if you're a horrible racist like Sam and you can't stand Japanese people?
Then you should still watch it because it'll completely change your mind. You won't be a racist.
Bridging the gap between cultural differences?
Yes. Takaruska Review has basically destroyed racism.
That's the power of Ace Attorneys.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
Endorsed by reformed racist Sam Cooke.
When you see Phoenix Wright and Miles Edgeworth dance off against each other, there's no words for like.
When I see female anything's dance off against each other, I stop being racist. It's fine.
Yeah, like because there's nothing hotter than when chicks dress up as dudes, right?
That's it.
Anyway.
But
anyway,
wait, no, one more thing. Like,
wait, no, it's not.
Like, Yumi Hiro, who plays Miles Edgeworth, she has his mannerisms down. And I've never been to a video games live concert. I've always wanted to. You guys know what video games live is, right?
Oh, absolutely, they're awesome.
Yeah, I've never been to it, but I imagine that's what people feel like when they go. Just
wait,
to see that.
Did you just say no?
Not only did I say no, I literally have no idea what you're talking about. Like, what?
Oh, video games live. It's basically this orchestra. It's this massive orchestra that goes around.
Oh, whoa, plays. Sorry.
You know,
sorry.
Game songs. So.
Yeah.
Eric
yeah.
used to be in it.
Huh?
Eric
confirmed.
Used to be in it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, especially considering the fact that I can't actually play an instrument. That was real useful. That's why I'm not.
I didn't say which Eric, Mr. Shepard. I just said Eric.
Oh, you asshole.
Yeah. No denial. Charles, anything else you've been playing?
I played Quake for the first time on Thursday.
Now, for shame for that being the first time.
I've never been a big PC gamer. Like, my experience. Mostly when I was a kid, I played like Doom, Duke Nukem, Wanma's Fall 2097, which is an old robot fighting game by Epic Games, when back then they're known as Epic Mega Games, Tribes, The Sims, and World of Warcraft. That's pretty much it. My computer's too weak. I can't even play Altitude on this computer. Okay?
Wow,
that's bad it is.
And I thought my laptop was bad.
Yeah, I really want to, like, for example,
play,
I really want to
play... Can you play Tribes 2?
I got it when it like came out, but it was a fucking mess. That game was terrible.
The game's still a mess, but we should play it now. It's just between you and me. It's awesome.
Just like, you two in a lonely server into the sunset.
Just us on the same team.
Giant match. Yeah, we'll be on the same team. I'll be launching my disc launchers.
So, Charles, why were you playing on a Thursday?
Well, there's this...
Was it on a night? Were there throwdowns?
Yeah. Yes, it was on the site called giantbomb.com, Thursday Night Throwdown. I got in. I played some Quake. I did really bad. That game is fast. That game is really fast.
Not to people that are used to it, Charlie.
Yeah. Well, I got killed. I might have killed people. I don't know, but there's like 32 people. And, you know, it always says when someone kills somebody else, I'm going to have to rewatch it to see if I did anything good.
I'm sure you got a kill here and there, but...
Yeah, maybe. I caught a couple of glimpses where it said, giant bombing killed Vito Relife, and that's about it.
So not to burn you at the stake, but are you ever going to play Quake again?
If... I was thinking, like, if people continue to play it on Giant Bomb, like, I would get into it for a little while, just as a novelty, just to say I played it, because it is an important game, you know. So its influence is important, so I like to
play
games like
that.
Can
I ask you a question about Quake, as someone who only just played it for the first time?
Yes.
So, my memory
of Quake...
What
do you think of the graphics?
I'm not a graphics whore, so it looks fine.
What's your opinion of OpenGL 1? So my memory of Quake, right, was that it was the first fully 3D game that kind of blew me away in terms of it was the first game I'd played that really got that sense of depth, right? And I remember standing at the top of a staircase and shooting a grenade and seeing it kind of bounce off the staircase, bounce off the wall, and then go down the staircase and kill someone at the bottom of the staircase. And I was like, you have blown my mind, sir. You have blown my mind. It was right there. It was right there in front of me. Anyway, my question is, what did you think of the grenade launcher? I don't know why I segued with all the rest of that stuff. But,
wow. Ripping radio.
It's funny, seriously. I never used it. I saw it used, and the bouncy grenades are cool.
Yeah, that's like the Quake gun. Well, it was for me anyway.
Launcher.
I used a shotgun and that really bad lightning gun. That's it.
Oh, stay away from that. Yeah, don't
it sucks. I don't know. I don't know what I was doing. I tried to use the axe because I thought it'd be funny. It didn't go well.
Oh, was that you that ran around with the axe?
Maybe for 5 seconds until I got blown up in little pieces.
Okay, because there was one guy that just constantly kept doing it.
That was me. I try to do.
Hey, well. Maybe you should ask me what I've been playing now.
Hey,
what
have you been playing? What?
I said so quickly twice. I win.
Okay, that's cool. That's cool. I'll just pretend one of those two questions was, how's your week?
How's your week?
Hey, it was good. I saw Scott Pilgrim, which was pretty orgasmic. I mean,
it's a good movie.
It was awesome. The fight scenes and the little visual flares, just orgasmic. But more importantly...
Yeah, all this Scott Pilgrim talk's making me buy Furious.
Hey!
Such a good joke.
Hey!
That's the best joke.
Anyway, speaking of Scott Pilgrim, so after I came back from Scott Pilgrim, or maybe it was the next day, I decided, hey, let's put in my Quake 3 disc. You know, Quake. And I played one game of Quake. It was about 5 minutes long, and I turned it off and I said, that is Quake, and I still like it, and I'm probably never going to play it again, or at least not for another 10 years. So that was good. I actually played the Scott Pilgrim game as well on Xbox. It was over at a friend's place, so I didn't get to play too much of it, but I don't know. It's a fine game. I'm not feeling it particularly, just it's too slow moving for me. I like fast beat 'em ups, but the most important and amazing thing that I played was Monday Night Combat, which, Sam, you and me were playing last night along with Steph, and we did some pretty magical things.
That's how I remember it.
How do you want to do you want to start this off? What do you want to?
Well, let me just tell you a story, ladies and gentlemen. No, you go.
All right, so basically we've been playing this game pretty regularly. I've been playing it since launch, so at least for me, it's getting to that point now where, you know, it's kind of on its last legs, kind of.
It's wearing thin.
Yeah, it's a $15 game and whatever. Got all the value out of it that we could have. So we decided, why not ruin the game for other people? So...
Jerks.
This all started as... how did it all start exactly? Was it your idea, Sam?
Ah, that's an excellent question.
I'm going to say
it was my idea just because that makes me sound awesome.
I think I did a taunt to Sam. We're on the same team. And then he was like, oh, how do you taunt? Because he's never taunted before. And he did his taunt and we laughed
inexplicable reason. We just thought it was the funniest thing we'd ever seen.
And this was 5 a.m. in the morning for me, by the way. So I do not hold myself responsible for any of my actions. And so the next game, all we did was stay in our spawn and taunt each other.
In fact, at one stage, we were trying to synchronize our taunts.
And we kind of did. It did on my end, but it didn't on Sam's end. Yeah, it was weird. It gets better. It gets better. Hold on. And after that, we decided, hey, you know what would be really funny? Let's spawn as medics, support, and keep healing each other as we walk into their base, only to taunt. So we did that a couple of times. And of course, everybody was getting really mad at us. And then after that, we got an even better idea. So Steph joined us, and the three of us were support. And then the three of us were healing each other as we went into their base to taunt and throw little turrets. And people got pretty mad. And the good thing that we did was that we followed. There was this one guy, Lieutenant Mark, so we followed him around for an entire game. And we're just healing him constantly. His KD at the end of the match was 45-2. So that was sort of our...
Those are real numbers.
I bet he felt good.
That's another story. Weird thing, right? We're in this lobby, and I don't know what it is. Maybe it's my, like, janky Australian internet
or something.
Yeah,
we're partying up on the Xbox party system.
Yeah, but I can hear everyone else in the game, but Goran can't. So I'm finding myself kind of relaying everything that they're saying to Goran.
They can't hear us, obviously.
And they can't hear us. So it was kind of like we were stalking all of them, but whatever. Not that I've done that before, and I'm really good at it and totally comfortable with it. But anyway, and so I find these people who were taking the game really seriously. I'm talking like people who are kind of like, okay, man, they're coming up the left. They're coming up the left. Deploy whatever. All this jargon I don't even understand.
Upgrade that turret.
That's it. Upgrade your turret. That's some hardcore game lingo there.
Yes. That's all I know.
And so needless to say, they were pointing out, let's say, some some flaws in our strategy and the people that were being like kind of dumped onto our team. And keeping in mind, there's kind of four, maybe five people in our team. So with us constituting three in the team, all playing support, healing each other and taunting, the people on our side were, well, they were less than impressed. They weren't
Let's just say Xbox Live, I was acting stereotypical at that particular moment in time.
Did you guys by any chance check how much your reputation dropped?
I did. My reputation went up.
Wow. Was that was that like Sam or Stephanie voting you up?
Might have been.
It might have had something to do with it.
For the record, we do not condone this style of gameplay in team-oriented games, but we know once in a while you like to let
every,
loose. And,
every ruin. So often. You just need that
every
release.
Now and then. It's that inner choice.
I find that whenever I'm playing a game and it's on its last legs, for me personally, I usually start to dick around. Like in Battlefield Bad Company 2, I think I've clocked like 75 hours in that. And the last like 2 hours, my friend and I would just get on an ATV and do like stunt jumps in the middle of a war. So I know it's infuriating, but I do it like, you know, like 2 or 3 times a year, so I don't feel too bad about it.
Yeah, I did that once in Halo 3. My reputation dropped about 4%.
Halo probably doesn't have the nicest crowd. Eric, are you known to grief any players?
Depends on the game. Not in Halo, because I fear the 13-year-olds who are in that game. I'd very much like to keep my ears intact.
Shut up, noob!
God damn it, why do you keep cheering? Stop it! Don't you're supposed to take the flag!
You guys sound so familiar.
Back in my old SOCOM 2 days, that was like once you play a game for, I don't know, like a year straight, eventually.
You just want to have fun. Like,
yeah, eventually it's like, oh, okay, I know this game like the back of my hand, so I know all the glitches of this game, so I'm going to do this one thing where I crouch and jump real fast, and then I walk into this wall, and then go into prone with my sniper rifle and shoot everyone through the walls, and now my kill death is like 30-0.
Nice.
So yeah, that's
exploiting. Hey, we don't appreciate you exploiting video games.
Like it sucks when it happens all the time. But I mean, like once you've played a game for so long, it's a good way to.
Yeah, I mean, like when people grief me, I don't usually get too angry about it unless they're just constantly doing it nonstop. Because every now and then you run into a griefer and it's kind of funny. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, especially when they try to grief and there's no like friendly fire or anything. So I'm just going to keep stabbing you and nothing's going to happen. It's like, you're an idiot.
Well, the only time I do is like, if there's like one asshole player, I'll just focus on him and try to ruin the game as much as possible for that player.
But doesn't that make you the asshole?
Yes, but they started it. So it's okay. Like Red Dead Redemption before, I don't know, I haven't played it since they patched it, but like this one guy kept killing me. I wasn't trying to mess with anybody. I was just trying to ride to a certain place and he kept killing me. So then I tracked him down and I killed him 16 times in a row. He would keep respawning and I would just keep killing him. And eventually I stopped because he gave up and I realized that he just wants to play now and he's going to be nice.
At that point, you should have just
He died inside.
You should have.
No, actually... Actually, we became like good teammates after that and then went to a bunch of hideouts. So
that's a male bonding right there. Beat each other up.
That's what happens. You beat the shit out of each other and then you're best friends.
How do you think I found Sam on the internet? I mean,
I don't know. Craigslist.
I can confirm this.
We beat the shit out of each other. I once ripped off his arm out of his socket with my teeth.
Wow.
Damn. Then we met each other on Xbox Live.
Moving on to news. StarCraft II is getting its first major update, and a lot of it is
just killed
Terran players. There's some Protoss and some minor Zerg changes, but a lot of it is Terran stuff.
I hate it. Sam, it totally nerfed my Zerg rush.
So, Sam, is this update gonna make you a better player now? Are you gonna broaden your strategic horizons, or is it just gonna get you angry to the point of where you don't want to play StarCraft II competitive multiplayer anymore?
My strategic horizons are about as limited as an analogy that would sum up my limited strategic horizons. Anyway,
you have the strategic horizons of a chair.
That's it. That is it. That is it. That's below sea level. I was just trying to find a way to bring the horizon to that. Anyway, look, I've been playing that game for a very, very, very long time. Not StarCraft 2, but you know, I've been playing StarCraft for a very, very long time. And the way I see it is that my kind of sledgehammer tactics, they're kind of like a well-worn groove by now. It's kind of like my little niche in the StarCraft couch in front of the television, if you will. Hey, there's an analogy. Anyway, and it's going to be very hard to get out, but maybe this is the thing. Maybe this is the thing. So, to be honest, even though it's heartbreaking, and again, Dingo stole my baby, you know, it's a... Does everyone know that reference, by the way?
No.
Are you two? No? Really?
Yes. Not. I know it.
You do?
Charlie, it just sounds like a racist. Like, what's a dingo? Is that like something racist? You're just dingo, man. Go back to your Diglandia, Dingolandia.
It's a kangaroo.
You are such a dinger. Yeah. You guys are such dingers. Anyway, it's a small dog.
Somebody called me
thing,
a cutter
anyway,
yesterday. I don't know what a cutter is.
It's because you cut people.
Cuts.
And you're not only do you cut people, you threaten to cut people and are always talking about cutting people.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Should we release some of our Skype chats?
I'm the nicest editor in chief you've ever met. Right.
Oh, okay. I'm totally going to release our like chats on here.
Word. But yeah, Sam. StarCraft.
It may be. It may be. Maybe. Maybe is my abridged answer.
Okay. Anybody else affected by these changes or not really?
Yes. As a person who cannot play StarCraft 2. actually, Sam, have you played any the original StarCraft recently at all?
Oh, yes. Yes. We played it to death in the couple of weeks before it came out.
Would you recommend it for someone who has never played StarCraft at all? Because I'm really interested in it. Just because
is this going to end with you saying you haven't played StarCraft?
I already said that multiple times.
He like explicitly said it.
Is this going to end with you saying you haven't played StarCraft?
No, it's not going to end. It's going to begin.
So there's a lot of good discussions about this on the internet.
Not go into it too much.
Yeah, I'll surmise, I think, probably the best opinion, which is that if that was true, then StarCraft 2 would be a terrible game. So,
which it is.
So no, not at all. They in actual fact, they go to really quite extraordinary lengths to introduce that game. There's so many different ways you can come at it. Think of it in much the same way as really any other game that's released these days. I mean, even though it's frustrating to people like us, how many times have you done tutorials in a game that you know like the back of your hand, but it's like, change weapon is that button in this game.
Third person cover based shooters, you know how that controls.
Unless
yeah,
it's
exactly.
Splinter Cell,
heyo. And even though that stuff is kind of old hat, it's people like in this instance those guys and those hand-holding exercises still exist. And whether you're coming at it through the challenges or whether you're coming at it through the single-player campaign, or even if you just frankly use those 50 practice matches in the online to get accustomed to it all, the game does a brilliant job of easing you into it. So do not play StarCraft 1.
It's the worst game ever. It sucks.
Well, I didn't mean to play so I can get good at StarCraft 2. I just meant as a good game. Like, I don't have a problem with graphics.
Oh, sure. Oh,
like
Jesus.
That.
That's a completely different conversation. Yes.
In that case,
Jesus.
Yes.
I didn't mean to, like, help me out with StarCraft 2, because I would just play StarCraft 2 and then go on, like, Wikipedia and read the story like I did with other games. But, yeah, just, I mean, you know, the impact that's had, I think, is an important game to play. And I was just asking if that's a good idea. So
well,
I guess
let me
I
ask you this. When was the last time you played any other circa 1998 game?
I don't think we should let Charles answer that. Oh, God.
1999. Well, it depends. I forgot when the original Age of Empires came out.
97?
Really? 97?
Did it?
Okay, wow. Well, if it did, then I played that in high school because it turns out I found out like months later that one of my best friends was really into it, so we started playing that. I don't have a problem with playing old games. I'm not one of those people, so...
Okay, well, yeah. I wholeheartedly recommend getting into one of the greatest games ever made.
Sweet.
Speaking of Age of Empires, is anybody going to bother with Age of Empires Online? Is that what it's called? The free-to-play
Yeah, that's what it's
called. Yeah, that's it. Nope. Nope.
No.
Wait a minute.
I'm not interested.
Ensemble doesn't exist anymore.
They don't. Not,
then what the hell?
This isn't made by Ensemble, clearly. I think there's a couple of people that have worked on Age of Empires that are working on online.
The brand doesn't exist.
Yeah, I'm generally not interested in free-to-play type models like that. I don't know.
Well, what about you, Mr. Popovich? I mean,
I'm not a big free-to-play guy, but the one free-to-play game that I do play is Company of Heroes Online.
This is why I ask, yeah.
Yeah, it's sort of like the poor man's Company of Heroes, because it doesn't have the, like, you know, five or whatever, six factions that it had. Yeah, maybe like three, whatever. I don't remember the number from the full games and the expansions and whatever. But instead, it just has two factions, the Germans and the Americans, allies, whatever, and has the sub-factions of that, whatever. Well, why are you laughing? Because I didn't say Nazi.
No. But yeah, I love reducing world war, the history of the largest war in the history of the human race down to the Germans. Fair enough, I'm fine with that.
That's what Company of Heroes does.
And then the Americans. So, for instance, all of the, I don't know, Australians, like my own grandfather who died in that war, literally sub-faction, whatever, just a sub-faction.
Your mic
guys,
just broke again.
Your mic is screwed up.
Anyway, to wrap up Company of Heroes talk, I'm not marginalizing World War II. It's just how, I'm not marginalizing, whatever. I'm not saying it's not important, but it's just how the game presents it. Don't blame me. Anyway, the reason I like
World
it is because...
World War II denier.
World War II never happened. The reason I play Company of Heroes is because nobody fucking plays Company of Heroes online anymore. So at least I'm sure there's somebody playing it, but nobody that I know. So Company of Heroes online, I have people that I know that play with me, so we play it.
Riveting.
So Charles, you had something that you wanted to say before?
Yeah, I was just gonna say that's kind of my worry with Monday Night Combat, because I'm about to hook up my 360, because you're saying nobody plays Company of Heroes online anymore. I'm about to hook up my 360 and I really want to get into that game, but Halo Reach is coming out in a couple of weeks, and I'm just worried what that's gonna do to the online population.
I think
it seems to be pretty popular. There should still be at least enough people, right?
I'm not so sure because when we play Monday Night Combat, I usually play it around 5 a.m. in the morning. That's Eastern time. Either that or around 9 p.m. Eastern time. So not really the peaks for, I'm guessing it's all the best in the U.S., not really the peak hours for that. And when I'm playing around then, usually we're getting full matches, or we're missing, like, you know, three people or something like that. But... Yeah. I'm worried for that game, because already sometimes you're getting into a match where it's not a full game. So, I'm just taking the past arcade games as a precedent. With past arcade games, nobody plays that online. Battlefield 1943 came out. I played the hell out of it when it came out. 2 weeks later, like, not a soul to be found. And
that's a shame. That was on my list. Yeah, as well.
That Blacklight Tango Down game. Yeah, that's more recent, and nobody plays that anymore. So, I don't know if the audience for Monday Night Combat and Halo Reach is exactly the same. They're really two completely different kinds of games. But I still think that once Halo Reach comes out, everybody's gonna shift to Halo Reach at least for that month. But I think Monday Night Combat, unfortunately, because I love that game, unfortunately, I think that's gonna fall to the wayside.
Well, I don't think they are the exact same audience, but I think it's been shoehorned into kind of taking that place thanks to its release.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't know what's going to happen to Monday Night Combat, because like I said, I love that game. I play it every day almost. Maybe they'll do a full retail sequel someday. That would be really awesome.
I will ask you guys to play it for me and then say whether or not it's populated enough to warrant a purchase.
Well, right now I can tell you it's populated enough, because I've been playing it.
Well, yeah, it's gonna be a few days before I get my projector hooked up.
Yeah, we'll check in when it's Halo Reach time. But the problem is that then we'll be playing Halo Reach.
Yes, we should just record the podcast while we play Halo Reach. It'll be
It recorded in a public game chat.
Yeah, the quality will be awesome.
And the people that are speaking in public.
Yeah, we could have 12 other people join us. 12 special guests.
And that are also 12 years old each. Anyway.
That are all racist.
And homophobic.
Sam.
I love how Samophobic?
What?
Anyway, I love how we like poop on Xbox so much. For the record, I like Xbox Live. Speaking of Xbox Live, we actually do have a segue. Holy shit, guys, we have a segue. Speaking of Xbox Live, it's coming to Windows Phone 7 or whatever they're calling it.
Yay!
Hey, is anybody
yay?
Yay! The new Windows 7 phones, they're launching with, I believe, over 50 Xbox Live titles. So, does anybody care?
I repeat, a quizzical yay.
I just got an HTC Hero, so I'm not going to be getting a new phone for a long time.
Eric, what about you?
I own actual phone ass phone, so no, I have no use for this. I'm okay with my Motorola phones.
Well, you know what? Depending how it goes, if I get a new phone the next couple of years, it will influence my decision. That's the best thing I can say about it.
I'm in the same boat right now. I have an iPhone. I know I'm one of those people. Sorry. But definitely in the future, because if Xbox Live takes off on these Windows 7 phones, that's really cool, because I'd be way into that. But again, the problem is, phone games. Not always the most compelling.
Not so much.
Yeah.
Yo, you like Bejeweled?
Yo, I love Bejeweled. Just
Well, now you can play it on your phone.
Crackdown 2's coming to the phone.
Now, that'll
be the best version as well.
It's a top-down 2D version. You know, because Crackdown lends itself to that. Anyway.
You can really feel the verticality with that type of viewpoint.
Agent, your mom's calling you.
Oh, man.
Again, as much as we're pooping on this stuff, it could be really cool. I mean, if Xbox Live, I like that whole technology where it's like, where I think it was Jay Allard or whoever pitched it as play Uno on your Xbox and continue it on your phone and that sort of
thing. Yay, I can watch people jack off on Uno on my phone. So awesome.
Yeah, I want integration. I want to be able to open my fridge, which then tells me, hey, Garen, did you know that there's people jacking off on your Uno? And then I go onto my Xbox, and it's like, oh, shit, I have to go now, but I want to watch this guy jack off. So I'll just
that's exactly what I want to see when I open my refrigerator to eat food.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, just a little parenthesis, I love popping in Uno on 360 only to find out that it's basically like a chat roulette for Xbox Live.
I've never...
Except it's not anonymous.
I played a lot of Uno when it came out, and I've been playing it recently a lot as well, but I've never seen anybody use the camera.
Well, you have to have a camera, don't you?
No. Can't you just...
Yeah, I think you have to have your camera hooked up to see other people using it.
Nah, it's just privacy settings.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Like, I don't have one and I can see people with cameras.
Like, well, several months ago, I hooked up my Vision camera and then pointed it at a wall so no one could see me. And just to see...
You're original.
I didn't want anyone, I would feel violated.
I believe that's the spirit in which the game was created. As well.
Yeah. So you point at a wall, you can look at whoever you want and do whatever you want without them knowing. But yeah, that's all it was. There's like... two girls who just want to play, and then a bunch of guys jacking off. And they just wait there, too. They just masturbate. And then if you come in and you don't have a camera and you're not naked, they boot you. So it's just constantly getting booted out of games.
I've never had this experience with Uno. Holy shit.
Go into the video part. I don't know how
it works. I've been trying to getting people that have... Wow. That makes me way more excited for Uno than I should be.
Yeah, well... I don't think they have it for Uno Rush. That would be too difficult.
That's fine. I'm not a big Uno Rush guy. But,
see, Goran, when you're having those conversations with me about trying to convince me why I should be into my Xbox and why I should be into this whole
Shut
Xbox
up,
Live
Sam.
Thing, you're missing the key material.
They're selling it on the PC.
Jack off.
So speaking of jacking off via cameras, The Sims 4 got announced? Or no, it got... Sims 4 domain got registered.
Breaking news.
This happened today. Does anybody care at this point at all? Like, I know we've discussed The Sims on the previous podcast, but let's discuss The Sims some more. Yeah,
I don't remember that. I just listened to those. I think you're lying.
Well, we discussed The Sims Medieval at Gamescom.
Oh yeah. The Medieval.
Steph's sort of charming.
No, actually, you guys just made fun of it. You guys actually talk about it.
Sims 4, what do you guys want out of a Sims game?
Close people in little rooms and make them pee themselves.
Except four times better.
My experience with The Sims, after school, I'd go to this community center, and they had a bunch of PCs with The Sims on it. So my experience with that game is going to people's neighborhoods and then making their characters do stuff that they don't want them to do.
Sure. In all seriousness, though, I know everybody likes to rag on The Sims, and I guess there's some...
The Sims is great.
There's, you know, a bunch of expansions, so it's kind of easy to poke fun at it, but... What would it take, do you have an answer? What would it take to get any of you back into The Sims? What do you want Sims 4 to be?
I don't know.
The Sims games to get you back.
I don't even know what The Sims 3 is, so I can't answer that.
Eric?
Sir?
I'm actually thinking about this, because I have The Sims 2, and I kind of like it. But
Yeah, I was just thinking about it as well. So here's the conclusion, right? That I've reached, anyway. So... Do you guys actually think The Sims 1 or 2 would have been what it was if we lived in the era we do today when it was released? That's an incoherent sentence, but
absolutely.
What I'm saying is... No, but hear me out. Like, so what role do you consider Facebook games to play in people's lives? And that manner of game? What do you think the... Okay, so what I'm saying is the audience for that kind of... casual...
Oh, you mean they've moved on to Facebook
kind
now.
Of meta-god game something.
Well, you're...
What?
You're saying that if The Sims was released today that the people that are into Facebook games would be playing that?
Well, I'm saying there's a reason The Sims has, instead of selling, say, like, I don't know, 10 million, like a successful series, it's sold 125 million because it's not a successful series, it's a crossover series, right? It's one that people's mums buy, right? And, I mean, God, when I met my girlfriend when she was like 14, she was literally playing The Sims. Like that was, I mean, like that's what that game is. Now, this is wildly speculative and I really don't know what I'm talking about, but I feel like...
Also, we hate The Sims and EA. Fuck you.
No, but all I'm trying to say with no evidence, no research and really no insight whatsoever. So, enjoy this, and take a lot from it. Is that I don't know if the market is the same as it was when The Sims came out, and I feel like some of that itch is being scratched by other parts of the market because it's a bigger, different marketplace today, and we'll see. But I don't care is what I'm trying to say. I don't play Farmville. I'm not gonna play The Sims. Whatever.
See, I don't think that the same. First off, I this is all speculative again, but I think the people that are into Sims are largely the same people that are into Facebook games, but I think The Sims is sort of the for people that are, you know, not as hardcore into games as we are. I mean, we're 5 a.m. in the morning recording a podcast about it. I think that the people that are sort of on the lighter side of playing games, I think The Sims is like the ultimate game for them. A friend of mine who was way into Facebook games, I introduced her to Spore, and it blew her mind, and she just played that nonstop for like 2 years. So I think for a lot of people, that The Sims is sort of like you're playing all these Facebook games, and then you see The Sims, and you go, "Holy crap!" And then you buy The Sims, and you know you spend your life on it.
Well, that's the thing. Like I've never played any of The Sims games on the consoles, so I don't know if they've managed to do it in a way...
Oh, we're talking PC.
...that I would enjoy. Like, yeah, I know, but I'm saying that's the reason why I don't play The Sims.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
I'm not a big PC guy, so... And I also haven't played any of the console games. It's just a really time-consuming game, and I like my games to end. And The Sims is just one of those things that you can play forever.
Oh, just so
that's
kill your Sims.
The main reason why I haven't gotten into it. I do. I put them, you know, like what Eric said, I put them in a room with four walls and no door and fast-forward it, and that's all I do. Yes.
All you should do.
Should do.
You're playing it right.
Speaking of putting things into walls and fast-forwarding, Far Cry 3 got confirmed by Swedish retailers.
You're really bad at the segue thing. I'm just saying.
Fuck you, Eric. Fuck you.
I thought it was excellent.
I have a good segue. Let's roll with this segue. Go on. Just chill. Just chill. So, for starters, when I was talking about my 14-year-old girlfriend playing The Sims, I wasn't talking about Steph, so I should get that out there. She was doing way cool things when she was 14. Which is a segue to another cool guy, or person, the person from Far Cry 2, who's now in Far Cry 3, presumably.
I have a better segue.
Yeah. Okay, along with putting... Along with playing Sims in rooms with four walls and no door, I also like to start fires and kill everybody, just like in Far Cry 2. And now probably Far Cry 3.
Maybe, probably.
Is anybody pumped, Eric?
No, because I hated Far Cry 2.
Whoa,
I'm totally unexcited for this.
What didn't you like about it?
Everything about that game. I was excited about it because of the whole open world thing and how, like, you know, you pick up a map and it's like you're looking at a real map. I'm stupid, so I think that's neat. And then I played it and I was like, these guns handle like crap and the game doesn't really look that great. And for some reason, enemies keep respawning and I keep dying and I go swimming in this lake and then all of a sudden I have a malaria attack and I die and I can't do anything about it.
You can get malaria in that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Eric, did you like rent a copy or did you play it at a friend's house or how long did you play for?
I borrowed a copy from my friends and I played it for about 4 or 5 hours before I was like, okay, I'm done with this.
I played it at an event for about 20 minutes and that game does not demo well.
Yeah.
It's impossible to demo. It's like this big open world thing. So yeah, I wound up actually not playing Far Cry 2 because of that demo. I mean, I realized at the time that there's no way you can demo this game, but it just completely put me off.
It's in my GameFi queue. I'm interested in playing it just from like the videos I watched a super long time ago. So I'll play it, but I am interested in Far Cry 3. Especially since, you know, all the stuff that you guys are talking about, a lot of people complain about in reviews and such. So hopefully, you know, they'll fix the issues that you guys had with it.
Oh, yeah, no. If they fix that stuff, then I'm excited because, you know, the underlying concept behind Far Cry.
Oh, it's awesome, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was totally execution that, you know, it's in the most important thing, but, you know, still.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was, like, especially a huge blow because, man, Far Cry 1 is such an awesome game.
Absolutely magical.
That Far Cry 1 and the Xbox one, not the Predator 360, I think it was, like, Far Cry Instincts or something it was called.
Xbox. I know what you're talking about, though. That's what matters.
Yeah, whatever the case, I thought that one was really neat, and then Far Cry 2 happened, and I was sad.
Oh, well. Speaking of being sad and Far Cry 2, I don't know what this has to do with anything.
Just keep going.
Telltale has teased their latest game, and holy shit, guys. Sam & Max Team Fortress 2 Penny Arcade and Strong Bad Dude Thing Cool Guy whatever crossover.
Talk about a Wait, never mind. You already said it.
Talk about a crossover.
Talk about a crossover.
Now, right away, let's launch into what I'm worried about. It seems that they're holding cards in the image that they released. Is this going to be a card game?
Yes. It's a card game where you get to select various characters from those games, and you play Texas Hold'em. 1,200 points on Xbox Live.
Really?
Oh. That's my insider information.
Eric, do you think it's going to be a card game?
Masturbation simulator.
What was that?
Eric, do you think it's going to be a card game?
That would be awesome because I love card games. But no, I don't think it's going to be a card game because nobody else likes card games.
I love card games. I will play card games with you.
It's okay.
Like,
Sam.
Like Magic?
No, not Magic.
Oh, hell, God damn it.
Yeah, I missed the Magic train. I think I would have got into it, but I just missed when it started and stuff. And plus,
I very much didn't miss it, and I wish other people didn't miss it as well.
And that other people don't hate you for it.
Yeah.
Sam, do you think it's going to be a card game?
No.
All right. That does it for the loot.
Just arbitrary. I just picked that out of the air.
So here's what
you know,
I think.
But with those characters, though, that would be enough for me, probably.
Probably, yeah. But here's
just,
what I think.
Just the novelty.
Here's what I think it's going to be. A card-based RPG. Oh.
Whoa.
Like that Game Boy Advance Kingdom Hearts game. Yeah.
Yeah, you when you're fighting with cards. Like Metal Gear, kind of like Metal Gear Solid Acid. Metal Gear Acid? Yeah, Metal Gear Acid.
All right, now that I have a public voice, I'm going to say right now and here that they need to make a new Metal Gear Acid game because fuck everyone who says anything bad about that game. Those games are awesome.
They are. Any Metal Gear game is awesome.
Any Metal Gear game is awesome, but Acid 2 is a really, really good game.
I think Penny Arcade actually had a card game, like for reals. Like a real one, sort of.
For reals.
Yes.
Enjoy
for realsies.
It.
And I think... I'm really excited for that game to find out what it is. I hope it's like mind-blowingly awesome because that just sounds like the I love crossovers, and this just sounds like the craziest crossover. Like, who would have thought to mix?
Yeah, you can't. Yeah, you can't show a teaser like that and have it be something shitty.
Yeah,
I trust Telltale.
Well, you can.
They well, I know, but Telltale is
Telltale are awesome. Smart. Yeah,
yeah, I think they're doing a great job so far. So I have no reason to doubt them as of
and
now.
Like we said on the first podcast, we all want more gaming crossovers. Thank you, Telltale.
Telltale are huge fans of the LuchaCast.
All right, before we move on to the topic of the week, let's go around table. Charles, what's your perfect gaming crossover? Let's narrow it down. The genre, so like shooter or platformer, and obviously the properties.
I'm going to be lazy. I want something like Super Smash Brothers, but with other properties.
You mean like with everybody?
Yes, I want Xbox mascots, Sony, Nintendo, all in one game. It'll never happen. Well, at least not legally, but
dude,
yes.
That's genius.
It's happened already.
Because I always wanted like a game with like Solid Snake, and then that was, I mean, Brawl came out, so. Yeah. But other characters, yes.
Eric, what about you?
I don't know. I want a new Rez game that is entirely like a Daft Punk soundtrack or something. I can't think of anything else. I'm sorry.
You suck. Samuel!
Shout out to Ethan.
I was actually thinking about that. I'm like, so you mean another Rez game?
Yeah.
So here's a little preview of my Little Big Planet 2 first mod. What am I talking about? Level game. A proper crossover between RTS and first person shooter, which involves adorable little robots.
I hate to tell you this, but RTS first person shooters exist.
Oh yes, but they're terrible.
Oh god, Raven Squad. Yeah.
Funniest thing, a little anecdote, when Raven Squad came out, I was running this like local games show, whatever, it doesn't matter, and it was me and Abhishek, who's the lead designer of the Luchazine, and we couldn't decide who would be forced to review that game for the show, and we wound up putting it off for so long that we actually never even touched it.
It was too late.
Yeah,
that's a good thing. That
that's a good. That's a good way to do it.
yeah, that was by far the best way to approach that game.
Was it really that
bad?
Got
the best experience out there.
I haven't heard terrible things about it.
I've heard the complete opposite. I've heard people like just vehemently hate that game. And even weirder, that game has like a bunch of Game of the Year awards on the back of it or something. Like if you go look in actual retail
box. You can just make up your own award, whatever.
I guess, but it's just funny to look at.
Yeah. All right, so I think that about does it for
news.
So moving on to our topic of the week. Rather, it's more of a question this time around. I'm going to put it forth to you three gentlemen. Is Mario evil?
Okay, before we get into this very serious and very controversial topic, I have two things, okay, that I'd like to say.
Yeah, yeah.
Are we talking about regular-ass Mario? Or are we talking like baby Mario?
Just regular-ass Mario.
Just regular-ass Mario? And okay, my second thing, one of the Lucha staff, Bo17, said that he would quit if we did not bring up.
Oh, don't worry, I will be bringing that up if you guys don't.
I think we should not bring it up, so he will quit.
Ooh.
Did you see his work? It's garbage.
Yeah, he's shit. I hate him.
Just kidding. Yeah, let's make him quit. Let's not bring up anything about the C word propaganda. Yeah, not that C word. Well, last night I was sitting on my front porch looking at the stars about 3 a.m. and something occurred to me, like, this isn't the case, but how, okay, and this is Braid spoilers for anyone that didn't beat Braid, but how
spoilers!
Awesome would it be? How awesome would it be if, like, the entire Mario series was basically Braid, as in Mario is the monster, he's the bad guy, and he keeps chasing down Peach, and that Bowser is like the hero, and he's always rescuing her. How awesome would the Mario series be if that were the case?
That doesn't answer the question at all.
Well, in that scenario, Mario is evil. But I don't think Mario is evil.
All right, so why don't you
because
think Mario is evil? He commits genocide. I mean, in every fucking Mario game, he kills hundreds and millions of turtles, Goombas, and come on.
Well, you know, frankly, some races deserve genocide, you know? That's how it works.
But
Oh
my god, well, I can't believe you just said that.
to say Mario is evil, say Bob Hoskins is evil.
But
Super Mario Brothers movie, I won't accept
blasphemy.
That.
Just think about it, Eric. Think about it. In every Mario game, these poor turtles and Goombas, they're forced to shuffle to the left and right. Like, what Bowser probably makes them, like, you know, mentally incapable of doing anything else. So if anything, Mario is killing people that are being held back mentally by Bowser. How do you feel about this?
I don't know if those turtles are the ones being held back mentally. I think Mario is the one who rides the short bus.
Why?
Have you heard him? Have you heard him in any of his games?
That's just racist.
He's
Italian.
I'm just kidding.
It's like the most racist thing ever, and I'm on this podcast.
That's what Italians sound like.
Yeah, clearly.
I went to Italy. I know this.
Everyone walks around and speaks like.
I've been to Italy.
Dude, I spoke to Italy earlier, and they are, you know, that's exactly what they sound like.
You spoke to the country?
Just the whole country.
Yeah, the Pope was.
I had them on the phone like 20 minutes ago. I can call them back. You can ask my mom. How good is saying you can ask my mom?
I was in Italy this summer, and I asked one of the, I was at a shoe store, and I said, "Mamma mia," and they kicked me out. This is a lie.
You are even worse.
I did not actually do
Eric.
This, but I was in Italy, but I did not do this. But I thought of it. So, Eric.
Yes, I did go to Italy, and no one sounds like Mario.
So
I apologize.
Eric, you think Mario is stupid and whatever, but is he evil?
Yeah.
Or does he just not know what he's doing?
I'm going to say yes.
Okay. So that's,
I don't appreciate all this Charles Martinet bashing.
So well, it's not him. It's Mario, the character of Mario.
But he's the voice, and he was talking about his voice.
Well, I can't tell.
I'm not talking about the voice actor. I'm talking about the direction they choose to give him for his voice.
So you're basically a retarded Italian? What? Yeah. You want money? Yeah? Say Mamma Mia. So that's 2-for-4 right now. Samuel, is Mario evil?
You know what? I spent a very small amount of time that I'm going to pretend was a very long amount of time trying to think of some like geniusly funny way to come at this, but I have nothing. The best thing I can think of is, so what if those noises that Yoshi makes, or sorry, I say Yoshi, whatever.
Yoshi.
Makes.
Yoshi.
Yeah, I'm happy with Yoshi. What if he just has like a fluent, he speaks like perfect English, right? But those noises he makes actually because he's been saddled incorrectly, which from the last horse/riding animal I spoke to, that can be very uncomfortable. So I think maybe he's not evil, he's just ignorant to animal welfare.
Alright, that's a fair point. Now let's bring up the communism point. There's no point in denying it. So
damn it.
Mario was since the 80s, basically, since the Cold War era, we've had this problem. Mario is dressed, I'm taking this from a website, by the way, this isn't my own argument. Mario is dressed in all red, right? He shoots red fireballs, and when he gets to a castle, if you notice, he brings down the peace flag, goes inside the castle, and he brings up a red star. Not only that, but he has a mustache like Stalin. This is all from my website if you just type in Mario Communism. But I think...
Yes, that's exactly what I did.
this is clearly a good argument for Mario being evil. Like, how can you deny his communist ways?
Well, that's saying communism is evil. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
So I think that there's really a contest where we've all decided that Mario is evil, right?
No.
I said ignorant, but...
I said he wasn't.
All right, so we're saying that all Mario is evil, and that wraps up our...
I can't believe I agree to this garbage.
All right, fine, Charles, let's fight. Prove to me that Mario's not evil.
He's not evil. That's my argument.
He kills millions of mentally held back animals.
You have no proof that they're mentally held back. And besides, okay, here, that's the same thing like with zombies, because zombies are like... brainwashed or not brainwashed, they have no mind, right? And that's what you're saying about Goombas, Koopas, all that. So if you kill something with no mind, is it really evil?
All right, fine. You know what? I'm not even going to bother to review that. Fine, let's take that argument. Then he's just killing like millions of animals in the Mushroom Kingdom.
We kill millions of animals every day and we put them in our bodies.
That doesn't make us any less evil.
Yes, it does, because it's delicious.
People are evil. Mario is evil.
No.
Think about it.
Bob Hoskins is not evil.
In the original Super Mario Bros., when you zoom in on Toad, he gives you he's flipping you the bird on both of his hands, basically. Why do you think that is? Because he knows that Mario is really just a crazy rapist.
Really?
Ooh.
Is that your argument?
So in conclusion, we all decide that Mario is an evil rapist. Right, Charles?
And you just spoiled the ending of Super Mario Galaxy 3.
I find three of the four, or not three really, two of the four current LuchaCast podcasters agree that Mario is evil. So one and two.
Boom. That's the majority.
If you guys,
if my math is right.
If you, yeah, for sure, 50%. If you guys want to submit your own arguments as to why Mario is evil or he's not evil, send an email to theluchazine@gmail.com. Or, you know, just post in the podcast thread, send me a PM, whatever. Just get in touch with us. It doesn't matter how. As long as, again, it's not through furry porn. They're going to PM you. Speaking of emails, it's time for some listener questions. Yay!
Shouldn't that be singular? Just kidding.
Well, we have two this time, like last time,
actually. That's right.
And so the first one comes in from a veteran listener, Interfect. You might remember him from such episodes as episode 2.
As the only person that sends in questions, yes.
No, we had two people last time, and like today. Anyway,
yeah.
The point is, he was watching the Brad Mafia 2 review, or reading it, whatever, and he noticed how Brad said that Mafia 2 is an open world game that isn't really with the times. So he poses the question, what could or what would you want to be the next big revolution in open world games? What is the next step in the advancement of this genre? I'm going to give it out open to the table. Eric, you.
Oh, God, come back. I have no idea.
Sam, you.
Oh, God. Okay, so...
Charles, you.
I'm not sure if this is what's going to happen, but I want like a decent multiplayer open world game.
So is multiplayer going to be the next step for open world games? Or do you
think... They're trying. I mean, they tried with GTA 4, which a lot of people hated. I mean, I like the more... Like Free Roam... was fun for a little bit, mostly when you're just being an asshole and blowing up people's helicopters. But like the racing, I like that, but that doesn't count. But like APB, for example, that's not doing so well from what I've seen, right? But I want something like that with an open world MMO multiplayer game that's done right, where you actually have stuff to do.
So you want APB to be what it should have been?
Yes.
An MMO.
Yes. I don't know how they would do it, but I want it. That's all I know.
Eric, would you be interested in playing a traditional MMO, as in, you know, like World of Warcraft type, like thousands of players at once, crime game? Like APB, basically, but, you know, proper MMO.
Not persistent.
Stink. Maybe. I don't know if multiplayer is what I'd exactly want out of a open world thing. Like now that I think about it, the thing that I enjoy the most, like in like open world stuff, like Fallout 3 and Elder Scrolls and, well, to some extent GTA 4, I guess, is like just exploring, because exploring's fun. So I guess the bigger step is to have like just a more vivid city, something with more detail, like more stuff to see and do.
So you want to see these environments like become organic.
Yeah, like I for as much as I appreciate a good story and good characters, I don't really want that as much. I want something that fleshes out the world a lot more than the characters that are in that world.
It's more life.
Well, along with that stuff, it'd be really interesting to see people start to tinker with that Rockstar's way of telling stories within that open world. Like something that comes to mind might be something like keeping the mission structures more organic, where maybe you enforce some kind of time on when you can and can't take missions or how they come up. Something more organic where it's like, well, not only does this world kind of constantly exist around you and it is, you know, fully realized and so on and so forth, but people aren't going to give you a mission and say, oh, just pop right back, and you can kind of just do whatever you like and then come back whenever you want and complete it, and they just talk to you as though nothing's happened in the meantime. Like, start enforcing, I mean, that sounds like the least thing in the world, but, you know, someone who knows what they're doing might find a fun way to implement the social part of an open world. Because if you think about it, so far the only thing that developers have really
So a Facebook GTA game is what you're saying?
That's exactly what I'm saying. You heard it here first. I'd like to announce it right now. I'm calling it
Mafia Wars. Oh.
There's actually something that's like GTA on Facebook. Yeah. I think.
Anyway, yeah, Sam. Before I derailed you.
Oh, no, that's fine. I love being derailed.
I love railing.
Wow, we're a perfect fit. No, no. Yeah. So all I was going to say was that, you know, baby. No, was that, yeah, well, developers have really only played around with actually realizing the world. And so I suppose all I was meandering towards was saying that it'd be interesting if they actually start tinkering with realizing the people that populate that world in less of a gamey kind of way, like that conceit of, like I said, that you can kind of pick happens regardless of time and all these kind of things. And that's a very gamey conceit, and maybe stripping some of that stuff away. I have no idea what would replace it, but that's the interest. But you know, that's the great thing about the future of games that are so kind of organic by their very nature. Something like that. So the social part of it. I don't think multiplayer is the way to go with that, but you know, maybe. Who knows?
Yeah, like that's actually what I was thinking when I was watching that the Mafia 2 quick look was. At some point in the video, they had to find a payphone. And I started thinking about, like, just like mission structures, like you were saying. Like in GTA, if you want to go pick a mission from some guy, most of the time you can go whenever you want and he'll give you the mission. Yeah. And I was just thinking, like, what if they actually took into account, you know, how people actually work? Like, if you were going, totally. Someone was going to call you on a payphone, he's going to be like, I'm going to call you at 4 on this payphone. You should probably be there to answer that phone. And if you're not there, at 4, then you miss the mission or something like that. Granted, that if not done properly, that could be
that's really tricky.
Yeah, but it's like those kinds of ideas that would probably make for a more interesting open world, at least I find, if done properly. Yeah,
it's such a double-edged sword, though, because this isn't one of the primary concerns. One I don't share, I might add, coming out of Mafia 2 is it's like, well, you have the speed limit enforced, and that sucks because it's not fun. It's kind of like, that's almost exactly what we're saying right now, kind of a different permutation on that.
Yeah, just the tricky part of that, all that is creating a nice balance where it's still fun, but those restrictions don't ruin the game. Like you're talking about the speed limit, for example. That to me, that goes too far. That's where it starts getting annoying. You know,
I think we should just take speed limits out of real life.
Yeah, they should, because I don't follow them anyways. So,
neither do I.
Uh-oh. So badass, but
I don't follow any rules.
Yeah, it's just, you know, you gotta find the right balance. I don't think anyone has quite yet for the type of game that you guys are talking about, but over time, you know, who knows?
Who knows, man?
Look out for these changes and more coming to My Little Big Planet 2 game, where starring adorable robots. So.
Almost out of time here, but we have time for another question. This one comes in from Charlie. He sent in an email, and he wants to know what our favorite fruits are. He says that Sam sounds like a guy that likes grapes.
This is not me, by the way.
Yeah, this is a completely different Charlie.
I want to know what Charlie's sources are on knowing that I look like a guy who eats grapes.
Sounds like. I corrected myself.
Let me go. Guy who sounds like, looks like to me that he likes grapes is that hedonism bot out of Futurama, which is exactly what I look like. So he's. anyway, no. That's it. I hate that. I hate grapes. I cannot stand them. I don't understand why people eat them. It's like, just here's what you do. Here's what you do.
I've got
some advice for
people. Fuck you, Sam.
No. Hear me out. Here's what you do. So. Even grapes, right? And you're going, well, am I going to eat these grapes? And you're thinking, well, I could eat these grapes. Here's what you do. You put the grapes to one side. You go to like a fridge or any kind of convenience store, maybe like a restaurant, and you buy something awesome. Like, I don't know, whatever you like. Like you can buy like a cheeseburger, you can buy like a steak, you can buy some chips, you can buy whatever you like anything. There's like so much stuff out there. And just eat that. Just eat that and just leave the grapes. Don't worry about it. Grapes
are awesome. Okay, fine. You don't like grapes. End of story. What's your favorite fruit?
Fruit. Probably apple. It's kind of predictable. Like it's kind of
doesn't
throw any punches.
You just stop talking now, okay?
Oh my god, that was so much. That reminded me so much of Paul Barnett. Truly, you are the Australian Paul Barnett.
Eric, Mr. Shepherd, what is your favorite fruit?
Probably the most generic thing ever of apples and bananas, because your fruit is gross.
You stop talking now too. So yeah. Charles, what okay. is your
grapes? Favorite? I love grapes. They're so good. I just had
You're
a whole
crazy.
Pack of it, like past week.
Yeah, I wouldn't call them my favorite fruit either. You stop talking too. Here's what I'm gonna say. Best fruit, raspberries.
You're crazy. No. Also,
what?
Raspberries.
That is insanity.
No.
What do you mean? No,
I've got hair on them. What are you talking about?
By themselves?
Yeah, by themselves.
No.
That's.
Have you ever had one?
Like, you're just making stuff up. Like, they look good.
Have you ever had non-genetically modified raspberries?
I've had non-genetically modified anything.
So that's probably why you hate them. That's my excuse.
I don't know if I.
Raspberries.
You know what? I might be getting them confused with all the other things that end with berries. It's all very confusing.
I'm not gonna sit here and describe raspberries to you. So yeah, that confirms that the Lucha Cast, all four members, favorite fruit raspberries. Thank you, Charlie, for that wonderful question. And if you want to send in your questions, concerns, comments, anything, again, you can just email theluchazine@gmail.com. You can PM any of us. You can post in the thread. You know, any way you can get in touch with us doesn't matter as long as you do, because we love you. So I think we're out of time for the podcast, for the Lucha Cast episode 3. And Charles, what was it like coming on your first LuchaCast?
It was amazing.
Did you have a good time?
I plan on being here a lot, if you will allow it.
I don't know. We'll find out. And Eric, how did you enjoy your first LuchaCast?
I'm so excited that I peed myself.
That is good. That is good.
That's okay. Charlie came, so, you know.
Anyway.
So good.
Sam, I tried that joke you're twice. A podcast twice. Veteran, so I'm not going to ask you how you enjoyed it, sorry.
Well, I had a charming monologue, but whatever.
Let's go for the charming monologue. Sam, so how did you enjoy your third episode of the LuchaCast?
Oh, God.
It was great material.
The spotlight. It burns. It burns. Here's the thing about the LuchaCast. It's a really, really fun way to remind myself that I should think more clearly about what I'm going to say before I start saying it.
Oh, me too.
Which is good. It's like a learning exercise. It's kind of like a personal tool for my own development. And I'm glad that the way that I'm doing that is via internationally broadcasted and distributed recordings. That's the only way I can think of approaching it. Exactly. So enjoy it. Enjoy my slow, arduous learning curve as a monotonous, lying, ranting idiot.
And that for Charles Allen Ratliff, Eric Shepard, Samuel Cook, my name is Pop Popovich, and that does it for this episode of the LuchaCast. We'll be back next week. Keep it locked.
Issue 4.
Keep it locked.
That was terrible.
I don't endorse that ending.
What the fuck? You guys, fine, we'll redo. Okay.
Issue 4, just a little over a week from now. Stay tuned.
Yeah, fine, here, we'll do it.
It's perfect.
For Charles Allen Ratliff, Eric Shepard, Samuel Cook, I'm Pop Popovich, and this has been the LuchaCast episode 3. We'll be back next week with another fantastic episode, and issue 4 of the LuchaZine is out September 7th. Get ready, because there's some crazy stuff in it. Not going to talk about it right now, but thanks for listening, and we will be back next week.
Will it have multiple?
Not me, though. I won't be back. I'll be in Kansas.